This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
NBA playoffs, the conference finals in full effect. Doris Burke joins us right now to discuss everything NBA playoffs. It's Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, which is where we go to welcome in the great Doris. She is on the call on ESPN Radio, the Western Conference Finals, Game 3 tonight with Mark Jones. Doris, Chris Carlin, appreciate it. How you doing these days?
Doing exceptionally well. Great time of year, Chris, obviously. And how about what we're watching from this 22-year-old Trae Young? Is this not incredible?
Doris, that's where I was going to start. I mean, last night, you see a performance like that, and all you can think of is you are watching a star become a superstar right in front of our very eyes. What impresses you the most about him right now?
You know, probably the road playoff performances. You know, it's the sixth time he goes for 30 points. And when you consider his age, 22, when you consider the frame and how slight it is, and the thought, you know, was very much going to be, would there be times when Trae Young would be played off the floor because of his defense? You know, we've seen that any number of times over the years. The most recent that I can think of for a player with great offensive skills but who, you know, struggled defensively was Jamal Murray. And Portland played him off the floor by attacking him in the post in the Western Conference Finals. They lose that in seven games on their home floor. So that's the guy who came to mind. I know his frame is different than Trae's. But just the confidence, the swagger that this young man sort of trickles down across the Atlanta roster, just could not be more impressed. And the fact that he hasn't been played off the floor. And Chris, there was a moment last night, you know, where Giannis is trying to attack him in the paint. And he's mid-paint, and he's forced to take a jump hook because Trae Young, you know, was given up I don't know how many pounds to Giannis and how many inches, but it was just he battled him. And I think he's battled him enough. You've been able to hide him for stretches against the teams he's played. So much has impressed me, but probably the road performances in particular.
Doris, what's the biggest problem that he presents teams trying to defend him? Is it that simple indecision in the lane in worrying about the alley-oop versus worrying about the teardrop?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, you ended up playing Brook Lopez, who has been an anchor for one of the most successful regular season teams that we've seen over the last several years. Like, Brook Lopez is a smart defender. He's an excellent help defender. He's great communication. But they were minus 14 with him on the floor. And you could play your defensive anchor for only 12 seconds. So now you're forced to downsize. Well, at that point, Trae is already in a great rhythm. And I liken that floater, which he uses, you know, to such a great effect, very much the way Ja Morant, as he's coming down the lane and he gets below that free throw line, his floater motion and the lob motion are the exact same. So it's like a pitcher who doesn't sort of, you know, give away anything on that change of pace. So he's a handful. He's proven a handful for several teams. And I'm curious to see what happens with Brook Lopez. You know, I think you start him certainly, but do his minutes go down? Because that minus 14 on the floor with him and then the 12 seconds in the fourth quarter, I thought was pretty telling by Mike Budenholzer.
Doris Burke, ESPN NBA analyst, on the call, the Western Conference Finals tonight, Game 3 of the Clippers and Suns here on ESPN Radio. Chris Carlin for Barton Hahn. We'll get to the West in a minute. Nate McMillan, Doris, since he's taken over, what's the biggest difference for this team?
Yeah, you know, I thought an answer that Kevin Huerter gave in a post-game situation was really telling. And, you know, when asked about Nate and the effect that he's had, he said the one constant Nate has preached to us as a group from the moment he took over was physical and mental toughness. And we've seen Nate, obviously, he as a player spent over a decade in the league. And if you look at his points per game, you know it was all about the defensive end of the floor. which this team had to raise its level in order to compete and to win in the postseason. I just think there's a level of toughness and professionalism that's required from Nate, regardless of what organization he's working for. And to my knowledge, Chris, and I don't know, but you must be surprised, but I don't think they formally announced that they're going to give this guy a job.
They haven't.
The job.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's remarkable to me through this run. And I guess it's good for Nate. The asking price can go up and you have several options since there's multiple jobs open.
Doris, on the flip side, Giannis here in the postseason, what do you see? Is he, you know, the numbers he's putting up are terrific, but is he filling out that role of the superstar that he's supposed to, if that makes sense?
Yeah, listen, he's a flawed player, as great as he is, and he earned those two MVPs and the Defensive Player of the Year. So make no mistake, he is still a dominant, imposing figure. You know, my colleague Jeff Van Gundy, on the course of broadcasts over the last several years, you know, he's talked about stupid can get you beat. And I had one of the Bucks games recently, and one of the things I said is, you know, pride can get you beat. So when he's dared to take those threes and those jump shots, shot selection comes into sharper focus, obviously, the deeper you get into the playoffs. What I have noted is I feel like he stopped taking those threes that I thought were detrimental to the group. So, you know, listen, I still think Giannis will get there with the perimeter game. He's not there yet, and to this point, they're going to continue to dare him to shoot it. I just think he has to be super selective when he pulls the three-point game and the three-point card out. But still, as imposing a figure in the paint as there is, still a dominant help defensive presence in the post. And I think, Chris, because you may have to take Lopez off the floor more than you want, Giannis at the five can really make an impact in terms of what you're trying to do defensively.
Doris Burke joining us, ESPN NBA analyst on Bart and Hahn. Chris Carlin in for the fellas today. Doris, this may be unfair, but based on what we've seen in the postseason, the question I think can start to be raised a little bit. We go back to the trade, Doncic for Trae Young. And it seems like it's evening out a little bit more. So if you're going to pick one of those two guys right now to start a franchise, where are you turning?
Wow. You're right, because the gap is closing. And I still think both players have a ways to go on the defensive end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, so much of their success is driven around the guys around them. I still think the size differential of Luka and his brilliance, you know, with complete mastery of the game, and again, the size making a difference in where he can be effective. You can put Luka Doncic in a post-up situation to get a bucket if required. So I'm still leaning Luka Doncic. But certainly Trae Young is certainly changing the minds of myself and I would assume a lot of other NBA fans.
It's amazing that it has become a discussion this quickly. Doris, let's flip to the game tonight. From what we've seen in the first couple of games so far, does this feel any different for the Clippers than it has? We know about the Kawhi injury, but is there reason to have as much confidence if you're the Clippers as they clearly did going down 0-2 in each of their first two series?
No, I think the Phoenix Suns are a different animal. And the question mark I had about the Phoenix Suns was their lack of playoff experience. But just as Trae Young and that young group seems, to use Draymond Green's quote, unbothered, I would say the Phoenix Suns, like Devin Booker has raised his numbers in the playoffs. Same with DeAndre Ayton. And it's funny, when I was asked in the regular season about Phoenix, I said the one wild card I saw was DeAndre Ayton, and would he display a level of maturity between the lines and consistent focus? And when I asked Monty Williams before game one, what about DeAndre Ayton, or excuse me, before game two, what about DeAndre Ayton impressed him? And he said his ability to raise his level of focus in the postseason. And he's a completely different animal than Rudy Gobert in the last series. He's more lively. He's more athletic. He's a better finisher. And so he's problematic for this group. They have the Phoenix Suns are shooting 53%. And here's the fascinating aspect about this, Chris. When Utah was making its run, they leaned more heavily into this three-point revolution than any team in NBA history. They made an NBA record number of threes per game, and they were shooting about 49% of their shots from three. And I thought, if they advance to a conference finals, or they advance to the finals, would it push this three-point revolution further? What's fascinating about Phoenix, Chris, is they're so heavily dependent on the mid-range because they have two elite mid-range players in Devin Booker and Chris Paul. And now tonight you add Chris Paul back, a guy who is shooting 50, 40, 90 in the playoffs, whose assist-to-turnover ratio is almost 9-1. I just think this is a much, much bigger challenge for the Clippers.
And Doris, as you're talking about that, it just strikes me. The Suns look like as complete a team as we've seen in a while. They have the great leadership with Paul. They have the big man that they need who's exceptionally skilled. They have a superstar in Booker, and they have great role players. Jay Crowder brings toughness. This looks, is it fair to say this might be the overall most complete team that we've seen in the playoffs together this year?
I think your characterization is accurate. And the other thing I think that probably is not going to be talked about because Chris Paul is still here is that this is a sustainable model for the Phoenix Suns. Mm-hmm. Look at the performances of game one and two. I would add two pieces, and you're exactly right. Those three are the foundation of what's happened here. You mentioned Jay Crowder and his toughness. Mikal Bridges is about the perfect role player in today's NBA. He is long. He is athletic. He is an exceptional defensive player. You know, you can assign him across positions, and he can go and make it extremely difficult on the best scorers in the league. He's a little streaky as a three-point shooter, but he's good enough that you've got to guard him out there. And then the other is, how about Cameron Payne, a guy who was out of the NBA, who looked like he wasn't going to make it as an NBA player, and yet look at his performances in game one and game two, just completely under control, using his burst, his change of pace, finished at the rim, finished with floaters, had enormous, enormous shoes to fill for Chris Paul, but did so more than admirably. So, yeah, I think your characterization may be accurate. They are a complete team. They are sustainable for whenever Chris Paul maybe is not in their future. There's a ton to like, no question about it.
Doris, one last one. We're talking to Doris Burke, ESPN NBA analyst. She's got the call tonight, game three, with Mark Jones on ESPN Radio of the Clippers and the Suns. Just to go back to the other night for a second, when they get that free timeout and they have that opportunity to draw up that play, is this an unfair situation when we see this playing out repeatedly in postseason games? Does the league have to figure out a way where these teams are not getting free timeouts and opportunities to take advantage of reviews that are ongoing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess you could tweak the rules so that you're not afforded the time to have those discussions. I think the bigger question, and I don't know, I mean, it just, I don't know how it felt to you, but watching it, you know, the final minute and 30 felt like an eternity.
It took like 6 weeks.
And you
want to
get it right. Yeah, you want to get it right. And even, you know, the play where the ball on the drive, Patrick Beverley's guarding, gets knocked out of bounds. I understand, and I did not hear it live, but, that's typically a call that goes to, the offensive team. You know what, Chris? It's fascinating to me. When there was no replay, we were screaming for it. now that we have it, we're screaming it takes too long. The one thing I admire about the NBA is I think that they are in a constant state of self-evaluation. And if things do need to be changed, they do listen to the critiques. But I just felt like that final minute 30 was in absolute eternity.
Doris, enjoy tonight. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Chris, thanks for having me. Take care.
Doris Burke, she'll have the call tonight along with Mark Jones on ESPN Radio. Game 3 of the Suns and the Clippers. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Getting back to the NBA playoffs calls here in just 1 second. The one thing I think really needs to be pointed out here about the Kawhi injury in comparison to what we've seen before. Yes, you are taking your best player off the floor, and that is an absolute killer. But what you are really taking off the floor is the guy, to me, that is the killer himself, the one with the most killer instinct, the one with the most ability to take a game that is a must-have like tonight and make sure his team gets it. Does not allow his team to get denied. I love Paul George as a player. I don't know that he has enough of that dog in him, so to speak. You know, playoff P, we've heard about that before. The other night, he looked like petrified P. Let's just call it what it was. That's absolutely what happened, and it was a killer for the Suns. An absolute killer, and I don't know that you're going to find a way to be able to replace that in short order. If you are, you're looking to someone who's kind of an unlikely source for that. I don't see that. I don't see someone willing them to a win in this situation when the other team that you are facing is in a position that they're getting their best player back and their leader, and they are as complete as can be. You really think about that. A very skilled big man, a superstar player, another superstar player who's on the back end, but leadership is incredibly important for him. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let us hit the calls. Got to see the screen here for 1 sec, fellas, as we get to them here on ESPN Radio. It's Barton Hahn, Chris Carlin filling in for the guys. Let us check in with James. He's in North Carolina up next. James, what's going on, bud? You're on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. James, gone. Oh, it's our old friend, Richard in Manhattan. Richard, what's going on, man?
Chris, you mentioned the USA team. Thank God Carmelo Anthony is not on that team.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked he wasn't, Richard, if he was asked.
Thank God.
Like, he may have made some calls to try to get on that team. I guarantee you that.
You know, just because Chris Paul is coming back, he has to replace a guy, Campaign, who had 29 points, 9 assists, and played flawlessly. Had 2 turnovers. That was it.
Yeah, it was one game, though, Richard. If you're going to make the argument that you'd rather have Chris Paul, or that you'd rather have Campaign on the floor than Chris Paul.
I didn't say that. I'd rather have 29 points and 9 assists. If Chris Paul does that for me next game, fine. If he doesn't, well, we were better off with Campaign. Okay, Trae Young.
No. You can't say that. You can't just gloss over that and make it be the point that you are saying is fact. You can't say that when you're talking about a player the level of Paul and what he means to your team overall.
Okay, all right. But Payne, right, to me, had a... Chris, okay, we'll agree. All right, as far as Trae Young, I think he reminds me of Allen Iverson. Just his style and his toughness, and not the same kind of player, but he reminds me. But the whole Atlanta team, I'll go back to the 99 Knick team. Capella reminds me of Camby, and Trae Young, a little bit of Latrell in him. I see that. At one last thing, Chris. One last thing. You heard in the morning.
Latrell's a little bit more of a slasher, but I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I'm just giving you basic thing. Nobody's exactly the same. As far as Steve Kerr coming out and saying Durant is the most talented player he's ever seen, mm-hmm. let me just tell Steve Kerr this about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan in college won a championship in 82. He came back in 83 and 84 with Sam Perkins and James Worthy. James Worthy, again, might be one of the best 50 or 75 players. And Michael Jordan, obviously, one. Do you know that team, and one of the best coaches ever, Dean Smith? This is how good the talent was in the 80s.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
They couldn't even get close to an eight, final eight.
You can't yell and try to understand that that's the best part of your argument. The louder you are doesn't make it a better argument. I understand what Steve Kerr is saying, and Steve Kerr may not be wrong. When you watch how easily Durant does things, it's very, very easy to say that Steve Kerr's right, that he's more talented. It doesn't make him a better player. It doesn't make him better than Jordan. What it shows is that he has the most natural talent and does it so smoothly. So smoothly that you can't argue it. It just makes it look effortless sometimes. God, I love Richard. I have a Richard warning usually on my New York show that I will fire off that is basically the equivalent of the purge horn to let you know what's coming. Carlin in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Doris Burke brought us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Up next, one goat talks about walking away while another goat is being walked all over. What? That's right. We explain in moments. Barton Hahn coming to you via the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. On ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Tom Brady belting out Country Grammar by Nelly with James Corden. About as good as it gets. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Talk more about that in a moment. Chris Carlin filling in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Right now, it is time for some audio files. Well, we start with Steve Kerr. Richard from Manhattan, ruined, just gave a little bit of a tip of the cut, so to speak, of what's coming from Steve Kerr and what he had to say about Kevin Durant being more gifted than Michael Jordan. This is from NBC Sports Bay Area.
He's the most talented basketball player on earth. If not of all time, honestly. He's just so gifted.
You played with Michael Jordan. And
I know. KD is, I know. Is right I think there. He's more gifted. I really do. I mean, that's saying something, but Kevin is a different, entirely different breed. I mean, 6'11 with guard skills, unlimited three-point range. It's just stunning. And watching him this year was really, really gratifying.
You know, it's one of those things with Durant and with LeBron that I think people, get mixed up when we talk about who's the greatest of all time, and they get into that Jordan conversation, right? When you look at LeBron and you look at Kevin Durant, they are two of the most physically gifted athletes that have ever been, and potentially in the NBA. The only other guy that I would ever put in that discussion is Wilt, because yes, they work hard. Yes, they are exceptional at what they do, but they were also born with incredible gifts, and they make the most of them. And I understand completely what he is trying to say about Durant. Where it gets mucked up is when people assume that means he's better than Jordan was. No, Jordan was 6'6" and obviously was cut and worked exceptionally hard as a player, but he was not nearly as physically talented as these two guys have been and are. Not nearly as talented. Yes, Jordan worked exceptionally hard to become what he was, which was the GOAT, the greatest of all time. This is not a knock on Michael Jordan and where he is to say that these two guys are more talented. And for Steve Kerr to say that, who would know better than Steve Kerr? The guy who has coached Durant and played with Jordan. Who would know better? I am going to trust that guy's opinion above all else, above anybody else, because he would know. I think that's fair to say. Up next is the aforementioned Tom Brady with James Corden. They were out on the golf course in the golf cart riding around, and Corden asked him about when he's going to walk away.
You know, it's hard to walk away from something that, you know, you still feel like you can do and you want to do. So sure. It's not about proving it to others,
right,
what you could do. It's more about proving it to yourself. And I still feel like even though I'll be 44 this year, I still have a chance to still, you know, prove it to myself that I can still do it at 44, because I've really worked to a point where I can, you know, still do it at this age.
He has repeatedly talked about 45 being the cutoff. So you have to believe it's this year and next year, unless for some reason he sees a massive drop-off in this coming year. Brady's the guy that you know is not going to hang on too long when he knows that he can't do it anymore. So he's hoping to reach that point at 45 where he knows he can still do it, but this is the age at which I am comfortable walking away. You'll remember earlier in the week, he was asked about the potential to play until he was 50. And it was, no, it's not about that. It's about still showing to myself that I can do it. And Jordan, with Brady, in terms of that mentality, there's never been anybody closer to Jordan than that. With the mentality of, I have to continue to prove to myself what I am and continue to prove to everybody else what I am. And he absolutely comes across as he did in the clip from The Shop that made it out this week from HBO, the LeBron James vehicle, where he says, you're going to stick with that guy, with that blankety blank over me, to the team that stepped away from trying to sign him last offseason? See, that's where the biggest difference is. When you can take even the tiniest of slights and turn it into the greatest motivation, that speaks volumes about the character and competitor that you are. That's elite. That's beyond elite. That's just on a level that nobody else is at. Jordan was the only other one, as we saw in The Last Dance. And then we hear from Woj, the Celtics hiring Ime Udoka to be their new head coach, the Nets assistant. Here's Woj on the hire.
Brad Stevens, in this process, I think he really saw Ime Udoka separate himself pretty quickly from what was a very good field. The kind of leader he wanted, certainly his pedigree in San Antonio, Philly, and Brooklyn. Having coached a lot of elite players in the league, reputation for being able to build relationships with them, hold them accountable, and just tactically a very sound coach. And I think for Brad Stevens, this was an important hire for him. It is not easy to come in as a head coach when the guy you're replacing is now your boss. And I think this is a partnership that Brad Stevens and Ime Udoka really believe can work. And the fact that he had coached several Celtics and the Team USA World Cup team as an assistant with Greg Popovich, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, all gave rave reviews about Ime Udoka.
The expertise and the resume is there for Udoka. I still continue to marvel at the fact that Brad Stevens is running the Boston Celtics. That blows me away every day. Somebody who in the middle of the year, it did not seem clear, was going to be able to keep his job as the head coach. But then when Danny Ainge walks away, they are more than ready to hand over the reins to Stevens. It's not a knock on who he is and what he's capable of doing as an executive, but you're going to take a coach that you were ready to move on from and put him in the position of being an executive at the NBA and running a franchise, a storied franchise at that. The hire seems good enough. When you have some of your players like Tatum speaking about how good he is and the kind of impact that he can have on your team, makes you feel great. There's no doubt. But when the guy above just got done coaching the team and now is your boss, that's also a situation that to me can be a little bit dicey. I don't necessarily believe that Brad Stevens is going to be in his ear all the time, but I don't believe that he's not either. I think that's highly, highly possible. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Well, that was pretty quick. After just 2 days, the commissioner of baseball comes out and says, mission accomplished on the enforcement of the sticky stuff. Boy, that couldn't be further from the truth. We'll tell you why in moments. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus is presented by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Chris Carlin in for the fellas. More next on the commissioner, the sticky stuff, and everything that's going wrong right now in baseball on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
And Fred is not shy about how he feels the first few days of checking for the sticky stuff is going. It's Chris Carlin in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Rob Manfred did an interview yesterday with The Athletic, with Britt Giroli of The Athletic, and there was some criticism out there from some of the players about the fact that they did not feel like they had been consulted with what some of the changes were going to be. And the commissioner came right out and went right after that notion as not being true and said that his view was that the first couple of days have gone pretty well because there had been no ejections and players in general have been extremely cooperative. Let's talk about that part for a moment. There are a few different things that have happened. Be it what happened in Philadelphia the other day with Joe Girardi screaming and yelling. Girardi, in essence, virtually lying, said before the game, I wouldn't go after another pitcher for gamesmanship by asking the umpires to check him for substances. And that night asks them to check Max Scherzer, said that he saw Max Scherzer going to his hair more than ever before. And Scherzer was livid. Absolutely livid about it. At one point, the entire dugout for the Nationals is screaming over at Girardi. Girardi's stepping out on the top step saying, come and get some. You know, I want all the smoke, which is absolutely absurd. That's a bad look. You watch last night, Tyler McGill from the Mets making his major league debut. The guy pitched pretty well into the fifth inning, gave them a chance that had shutout innings up until giving up a home run to Ryan O'Hearn. And then what happens? He has a situation where he's walking off the mound, getting a standing ovation. It's a magical moment for any young pitcher, and they stop him to check him. And the entire stadium starts booing. It's just absolutely bizarre. So Zach Britton of the Yankees, who's been exceptionally involved in the Players Union for a long time, Garrett Cole has been involved in the Players Union for a long time as well. They have said, basically, there hasn't been a whole lot of communication here. And Britton said yesterday, I'd love to hear Rob Manfred answer some questions. So that afternoon, he's on the phone. And Manfred says this to Britt Jaroli. First of all, it would be incorrect, blatantly incorrect, to assume that the players and the union did not, A, provide input into what we are doing, and B, have additional opportunities to provide input that they did not take advantage of. The transparency that I owe is to the players, and we've been transparent from the beginning. I have to tell you, there is a bad moon rising in baseball right now. When you hear this kind of talk, the commissioner has never been shy about expressing his opinions. And that comes across as inflammatory at times, and it also can come across as talking down to others, condescending. And it especially seems to come that way when it comes to his dealings with the players. And then Mike Rizzo comes out and says that mess that happened the other night. The Nationals GM says it's not only an embarrassment for the Phillies, it's an embarrassment to baseball. The commissioner's asked about it. What does he say? I'm not going to respond to those comments, which I find to be intemperate. In other words, those comments are just things that come out and he's saying in the heat of the moment and mean absolutely nothing. You know, there doesn't seem to be an acknowledgement of this becoming a bigger spectacle than it truly needs to be. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the continued lack of trust between both sides. And problem number three for the players is that whether it was intentional or not, there are hitters that maybe haven't had the best season that want to blame that on the pitchers. So there is a little wedge being driven between the players and the pitchers. And I don't think the ownership is all that broken up about that happening. What this all says is we are headed for a work stoppage that's going to be a doozy with the CBA up at the end of the year, because from last year moving forward, the mistrust between the players and the owners in baseball has continued to grow, and that is a big problem for a game that needs all the help. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.